A day of rest. The Sabbath is a day for rest and reflection, a day to give thanks to God for His good graces. The Edwards attend services at the New Brick Church faithfully. Everyone rises early on the morning of April 16, 1775. The children dress themselves in their best clothes, with the girls wearing petticoats, short gowns, jackets, and mob caps fashioned by their aunt. Sally's auburn hair beautifully accents the rose-colored fabric of her homespun short gown. She presents an appearance that all find most endearing and attractive. Always focused on doing what is best for the family, Sally is a hard worker with a positive outlook on the future. Occasionally shy, especially around a certain boy she fancies, Ben's sister dreams of someday having a family of her own. Her cousin Rebecca is outgoing and mischievous. She is less concerned about appearance and more focused on having fun. It is a character trait that she certainly shares with her cousin Ben. Like Sally, she is a diligent worker, but also has a reputation for getting into mischief. Her most distinctive feature is her big brown eyes. Aunt Sarah often notes that Rebecca looks very much like her late mother, Mary Edwards. Today, young Ben wears the same baggy knee breeches he always wears and a loose shirt. Over that shirt, he wears a green waistcoat, vest, fashioned with tie-on sleeves. Uncle Alex, his brother Ben, Aunt Sarah, and the children gather in front of the Edwards home to begin the short walk across Back Street and down Beer Lane to Middle Street, where the church is located. A chill is in the air on this overcast spring morning. The New Brick Church is a prominent landmark in Boston. The church is regarded as a building of uncommon elegance and taste. Its unique steeple is topped by a weather vane shaped like a rooster, giving locals reason to call it the Cockerel Church. The weather vane was hammered out of brass kettles many years ago by Deacon Shem Drown. The building has entrances on the west, south, and east. Responding to a slight breeze, the weather vane points due north as members of the parish fill the church for the early morning service. The Edwards family enters the New Brick Church from the west side, and Uncle Alex leads them down the broad aisle to the family's square pew, noted as number 28 in the church records. This pew, originally purchased by Ben's grandfather, has been held by members of the Edwards family for more than 50 years. Young Ben fidgets in his seat as more parishioners fill the church. He glances at the upper level where a few of the younger children are playing. Rebecca nudges her cousin Sally, and they both turn around, noting the entrance of Rachel Revere, wife of silversmith Paul Revere, and two of her children, Deborah and Paul Jr. The Revere family sits in pew number 59. "You must speak to him," Rebecca tells Sally. "He looks at you when we leave after every service." "I was hoping he'd approach me," responds Sally quietly. Rebecca shakes her head, realizing that at this rate, 15-year-old Paul Revere Jr. and her cousin would never become acquainted. Scheming as always, Rebecca has a plan of her own to speed the process along. Reverend Ebenezer Pemberton, the 70-year-old pastor of the New Brick Church, slowly makes his way to the pulpit that stands in the middle of the building's north side. After a brief pause, waiting for all to become attentive, he begins preaching the sermon. The service itself lasts just under an hour. Toward the end, Reverend Pemberton shares some of his own personal views about England, her colonies, and the current tensions. Opinions of the congregation appear split on his view of this topic. When the service ends, Uncle Alex leads the family out of the church, and he stops for a moment to speak with friends. Rebecca takes this opportunity to set her plan into motion. Before Sally can prevent it, Rebecca engages in a conversation with Paul Revere Jr. Her message soon brings a smile to his face, and then they both share in some hearty laughter. By this time, Sally has noticed the two speaking and wonders what her cousin is up to. A moment later, Rebecca brings Paul over to meet Sally. "Your cousin says you intend to marry me someday and predicts we'll have a large family, at least 10 children, according to her, says Paul. Perhaps we should begin by saying, hello, my name is Paul Revere, Jr.
My name is Sally Edwards.
Well, Sally, your cousin suggests we name our first son after your Uncle Alex. Sally, appearing quite embarrassed, glares at her cousin Rebecca, who is now grinning from ear to ear. I have to leave soon with my family, says Paul. It was very nice meeting you, Sally. And winking at Rebecca, he adds, thanks to you. Paul Jr. dashes off to join his mother and his sister Deborah. The church land connects directly to their North Square property, and for the Reveres, it is a short walk home. Outside of the church, the conversation continues. I think he really likes you, says Rebecca. Sally, about ready to explode, says, at least 10 children. I hope you prayed well this morning, because you'll need some of those prayers to save you now. With that, Sally lunges for her cousin and then chases her for the full distance back to the Edwards home. Fortunately for Rebecca, she never quite catches her. Back at the church, the fun and frolic of a budding romance is replaced with the reality and serious nature of what lies ahead. Uncle Alex has just concluded a conversation with several men. There is real concern that the British regulars are preparing for some sort of movement, perhaps an expedition into the surrounding countryside, in the very near future. Absent from the services this morning, and his usual seat in pew number 59, is silversmith Paul Revere. He awoke before daybreak at his home in North Square and is off on an errand for the Sons of Liberty. Just 8 days earlier, Revere had written to Concord to warn the militia there to scatter and conceal the cannons, gunpowder, and other military supplies they were storing. Before this day is out, he will travel to Lexington and also speak with Whigs in Cambridge and Charlestown. In Lexington, at the Clark House, he will meet with John Hancock and Samuel Adams to tell them about some important activity in Boston's harbor. The British ships have launched their longboats and moored them under their sterns, ready to transport troops. On his return trip through Charlestown, later this evening, Revere will meet with a patriot named Colonel William Conant. Paul Revere will tell Colonel Conant of his idea for a signal to notify the Sons of Liberty in Charlestown of the time and route of the regulars' march. As the Edwards family walks toward Back Street on their way home from church, Ben notices that something has changed. There's a look of concern on both his uncle's faces. He recalls a recent conversation and how his uncle Ben spoke of the birth of freedom and a struggle that would come. As the family walks on in silence, for a reason he can't quite explain, Ben senses that the time for this struggle is drawing near.